Well, Senator, a bombshell today. Harriet Myers has withdrawn her nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. President Bush reluctantly accepted that. In her letter to the president, Myers thanked him and writes, I am concerned that the confirmation process presents a burden for the White House and our staff that is not in the best interests of the country. Senator Lott said he thinks she made the right decision in withdrawing, and he said his objections to Myers weren't based on her philosophy, but were more about her qualifications and her competence. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I was a little surprised. I think I would have thought that she should have had an opportunity to go through the hearings to really get a chance to look at her. I'm surprised that anyone would question her qualifications in terms of the qualifications with regard to law and background there. I'm one who doesn't think it's necessary to have served on the bench in order to qualify, because many haven't, and it's a good, I think, a good change to have some of each on the court. But in any event, I can understand why she was awfully tired of the process that went on and wasn't able to seem to get any strong decisions from anyone. So I guess we start over now, so it'll be interesting.
It makes you wonder why anybody would say yes to a nomination like that, doesn't it?
It really does, doesn't it? It's kind of too bad, frankly, and it's not the only thing, but the process here has changed quite a little bit. And, you know, politics has always had different views. People have different views. But those different views ought to be based on issues and direction that you want the country to take and so on, and there are different views. But it's gotten to where it becomes more personality and personal kinds of things and things that are really aside from the issues, and I'm sorry for that, but that's the way it is, and so we have to deal with it.
You, I understand, are working on the environmental bill. We understand the bill was approved in the House, 229 to 193, and has now come to the Senate. A couple of the highlights are that the bill apparently would eliminate requirements that habitat considered critical to the survival of animals or plants facing extinction be set aside. Also would ensure that private property owners receive fair market compensation if their land use was restricted by an effort to revive a threatened or endangered species. Is this the direction the bill is continuing to take, or do you see some changes coming up?
Well, we've been working on it here in the Senate for quite some time. Some people have said the Senate doesn't have a bill. That isn't true. We've had one. And we have some of the things in there. For instance, the fact that we need more science and more information before there's a listing. The fact that there needs to be, when there's a listing, a recovery plan that is adhered to. Those are a couple of things that we've already had in there. I think there needs, we're going to be talking over here about how we can find ways to perhaps use the threatened category a little more than the endangered listing, so that the states have more opportunities to participate in the decisions. So I'm glad that the House passed the bill. I don't expect ours will be precisely as that one is, but the fact that they've moved one perhaps gives us a better opportunity here. Frankly, we have quite a bit of support, and we have a kind of a Western group, including Senator Enzi and myself, to work on it. Unfortunately, one of the chairmen in the subcommittee of the committee that has jurisdiction is from the Northeast and has quite a different view about it than we do. But I'm optimistic that we'll get a bill in before we leave here, and that first part of next year we'll begin to work on it and get a bill out that will fix some of the weaknesses that are clearly in the present program.
How do we reconcile the differences between the gentleman or lady from the East and the concerns of the West? Why is there always a difference?
Well, part of it, of course, is the public land issue, where half of Wyoming is in the federal government and public land issues. Part of it is because we have need to have a multiple use of those public lands in order to have our economy function. Part of it is just driven by strong environmental folks who really don't want to, you know, to have any controls over it and don't want anything to be used to manage wildlife at all. And so there's a different view, but we need to come to a conclusion, and I think we will be able to.
I understand you're also working on national parks management.
Yes, we're expecting the Park Service to bring their proposal, or at least their initial proposal, back to us here, in Tuesday.
Okay. We had a wire story that said the National Park Service is considering a new policy that would allow top agency officials to solicit donations to parks from concessionaires and other permit holders. Does this strike you as being a sound idea? I mean, couldn't this lead to conflicts of interest, perceived or actual, if Park Service officials are going to solicit contributions from the very people that and businesses that they regulate?
That would make sense to me. I don't think that's a reasonable thing to do. The concessionaires often make contributions to the park, but that ought to be contributions made on their decision and not be solicited by, as you say, the officials that are over and managing those contracts. That'd be a wrong thing to do.
It would almost make more sense to actually make a rule prohibiting or outlawing park personnel from doing that to protect a conflict of interest, maybe prohibiting those concessionaires from contributing while they were a concessionaire.
Yeah, I agree with you, and we'll have some oversight on that. I'm chairman of the Parks Subcommittee, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Snowmobiles.
Oh, look out.
Okay. Yep. Boy, are we headed in the right direction with this, or are we still in trouble?
Oh, I think we're headed in the right direction pretty much. Here again, you have a group of people that, of course, don't want to see any sort of activity of that kind. I'm one who believes that the purpose of public land is to be able to use them, to be able to have the owners, which is the public, be able to enjoy them. Now, they can't enjoy them without some oversight and some regulation so that they're not damaging the resource. But we've been through this in Yellowstone, for example. There can be rules and so on which balance the recreational and access aspect of it to the conservation aspect, and that can be done. And that's what we ought to seek to do rather than to take strong positions on either side of either being able to do anything there regardless of what it does to the resource or not using it at all. There's a middle ground, and we can find that.
You mean we actually ought to talk compromise?
Oh, absolutely.
You bet.
And we've been doing that, a lot of that, in the park. And I think we've been pretty successful there. We talked about holding down or having a limit to the number that could be there. That's a reasonable thing to ask. We talked about having machines that didn't have as much exhaust and that sort of thing. We talked about having training for people who go in so that they'll know what the rules are. Making sure that people stay on the routes that are available. Those are reasonable, but then we ought to have people have an opportunity to go and enjoy themselves.
We had Katrina, then Rita, and then Wilma, and it seems to some of us here in Wyoming that FEMA is not learning from experience. Is FEMA broken? Does it need to get fixed?
Well, I'm sure that we'll learn a lot from what happened. I think, number one, you have to understand that the New Orleans Katrina came as a very strong thing. And
huge surprise.
And somewhat of a surprise, not as much as perhaps as it could have been. But we've learned since then. I think even as Rita came, why you found more activity, better service. We found, I think, more and the state more involved in Florida than they were other places. That doesn't mean that FEMA is perfect, but when you're dealing with those kinds of emergencies and that broad of a need for immediate reaction, it's never going to be perfect.
Which brings us to the question that a lot of people around here are asking, why rebuild New Orleans? Why not rebuild someplace else? Why pour money into real estate that could be flooded out the next time we get a Force 5 hurricane, and then we'd have to do it all over again? Does that make any sense?
Well, I think it's a good issue and a good question. I just came from a hearing, and they were talking about doing something about the gas and oil development in the Gulf. And I said, the Gulf is the place where it's most susceptible to hurricanes and damages that we just got through. Is that where we ought to be looking at expanding, or should we be looking at some other areas? So I think that's part of it. However, if you talk about not rebuilding New Orleans, come on back with me when we meet with a few of the New Orleans people who represent the culture there and the desire to come back, and your ideas will get a little damaged.
Maybe it makes more sense for private enterprise to do that rather than the federal government. Is that possible?
It does, and I think that's true. You're going to see a lot of, I'm not an expert in New Orleans, but there are parts of New Orleans that were lower than others, and those really ought not to be, refurbished. There are parts of it that apparently are much safer, and that's where the city ought to go and so on. But it's just like if you had the wind blow away in Cody, I'm not sure everybody would want to move out.
No, I understand. The president's popularity is at a pretty low ebb. In fact, I think you could describe it as being in the basement just now. Can he recover in time for the 2006 midterm elections? I mean, historically, when the a president's popularity has sunk so low, it really hurts the candidates in his party. Is that a danger a year from now?
Oh, I suppose it's a danger, and I think the president and others are very much aware of it. But, take a look at some of the things. For example, one of the issues is Iraq. I think there's a good chance, and there's some movement being made over there with this constitutional vote and so on, to make that place and to start really kind of finishing up our job over there in the next year. That would be a good thing. A lot of it has had to do with FEMA and this approach to the catastrophes. Well, that's a kind of a short-term thing, and if they can show that they're patching up and being better ready for the next one, why that's helpful. And some of these things that have been going on here with the CIA stuff and so on, that's yet to be resolved and so on. So I think some of these issues could very well be very less, have much less of an impact 6 or 8 months from now than they do now. But we'll wait and see.
Well, hopefully some problems will get solved between now and then.
That's really the issue, regardless of what you want to do about the popularity. There are some problems, and hopefully they can be solved. And that ought to be our challenge, is to move through these problems and not worry so much about the popularity aspect.
We've heard of an exciting opportunity, Senator Thomas, that you are looking for interns for the spring 2006 semester.
That's right. I tell you what, the interns are a great thing for us, and I think it's a good experience for them, and we just really like to have people be interested in coming here. So they also are some advantages, some credits possibly through the UW, depending on what you're doing and so on. So, yes, we'd like to have folks who we'd like to have folks, a little older, hopefully up in the 19-20 age. We don't want to get 15-year-olds here on their own. But we'd be very interested in having applications.
Okay, so call your office and handle that.
That'd be great. We have an office in Riverton and Casper, or call here, either any of those.
Thank you for your time, Senator.
Nice to talk to you, sir. Take care.